I was sharing with my husband on the way down here what I was going to share tonight. And from the confused look on his face, I said, you know, I really hope it comes out a lot better when God takes over. Because I know that tonight is not going to be perfectly pieced together. When God was kind of revealing or showing, this has been a process, but when God was kind of talking to me about this, I was like, you know, this is piecey. You know, sometimes, Jason, you know, sometimes sermons are piecey. You know, they don't just fit. But I know God knows how to make everything fit. And so when he was today really encouraging me, and I told Mike a while ago, I said, now I'm nervous. Now I'm nervous. But I really know God wants to share something tonight that is going to challenge you. And it is also, I believe, it's going to free us tonight. I believe God wants to do some freedom in this church tonight. I believe he's got a level of freedom tonight that he's wanting to bring us into. And you're going to have a big part to do with that. Tonight, God's going to really open up a door for you to step into, for you to have a participation in that. We all can use more freedom. I'm telling you, we can all use more of the presence of God in our life. We're going to start tonight in Mark 11:23. And I say this as a short sermon, but we'll see. My plans are that way. All right, Mark 11:23. I'm going to read this scripture to you, and I want you to think about this scripture in a different context, okay? It says, for assuredly, and all of us know this scripture, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, we have used that scripture in faith. And we have used that scripture in standing on God's word. How many times already this year or this week or in our lives? That's a powerful statement of the way that God works faith into our lives. That's a powerful way that God that uses us to get connected with what God is wanting to do. And as God breathes that into us, that's where faith takes on. And that's a really dynamic way that your heart and your mouth, when they become in sync, there is great power released in that agreement. I'm going to say that again. When your heart, because if you're believing in your heart, and when your mouth, when they become in sync together, there is great power that comes in agreement. You will really see things begin to change dramatically when your heart is in a true place of believing it so much that it starts to come out of your mouth. We saw that with Jesus, remember, on the boat. Jesus believed peace so much in here that when it began to have a process of coming out of his mouth, at that moment, you saw great change. You saw things begin to change. The heart and the mouth agreement, they're very productive in our life. They're very important for us to working with God in faith. But one thing about this scripture I want us to recognize is that the enemy knows this scripture too. Just as much as God knows that our heart and our mouth coming into agreement produces things, the enemy knows that. The enemy notices that when we do things, that things happen. Now, I want us to look back at the scripture because I want us to notice that this scripture does not in any way say when your heart and your mouth begins to believe God's word, which is what we would want it to say, right? Which is what we usually take the scripture into our heart and we use it in that way. That's where the faith gets pulled into this scripture. But what it lets us know is that whenever we come into agreement with something, to a point that it's coming out of our mouth, things are going to change. And that is the way the enemy works in our life, just the same way that God works in our life. The enemy is very strategic in battling our belief systems, in battling what we truly believe. Now, that word doubt right here, it says, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. That word doubt can be taken a few different ways. It means to hesitate. It means to waver. or it means to differ, to take on a different direction. So when God comes and in faith, he speaks something into your heart and it becomes a belief system and you're to the point where it's about to come out of your mouth. You're about to see great things changed. It is the enemy's way to come in and start to get us to doubt or to speak words that cause us to hesitate or to begin to speak things that make us kind of waver a little bit from exactly what we know that God is wanting us to believe. If the enemy can come in and he can challenge what God is saying to you, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to come in and he's going to begin to challenge these words, this belief that God's trying to build in our heart. When he begins to challenge these, he causes us to just differ just a little bit in what God has told us. And I'm going to tell you, it's a gradual, slow process a lot of the time in my life in the way the enemy does that. Because God wants to do whatever we ask. As long as we ask according to him, that's what God wants to do. God's a good father. And God has placed a lot of things in our hearts to believe into. But if the enemy can come in and begin to distort that belief just a little bit or cause us just to hesitate, just a little bit. How many of you has the enemy tried to do that this week already? Oh, yeah. I know. I'm there. I'm telling you. He comes in and he begins to have us kind of just waver or just to kind of distract. You know, God, it's okay if you don't do it this way. I'll be okay with that. How many of you have wrestled with the thought that you know, God wants to do it and God might do it. And it would be so nice if God did do it. But through the enemy's plans of depositing doubt into that, it's caused that not to become the belief system that it once was. And so it's not coming out of our mouth the way that this scripture intends it to. To where, I will be honest with you, I have found myself allowing that doubt, allowing that waver, allowing that hesitation to become a belief. And it's a slow, gradual process. He's sneaky. He is extremely sneaky. But what he wants to do is he wants to come in with words and thoughts and ideas and imaginations. And we start to build this wall of doubt and unbelief. It's not just, oh, wow, God, you are not going to. It's the acceptance of the wavering back from the place of faith that it takes to believe and speak and see it done. And as we allow the enemy to come in and start to speak those lies, they're lies, those lies of fear and insecurity and failure and all of those things, we start to build a wall in between what God has said and us. And I'm going to tell you, I do that all the time. I hate to say that, but I have to catch myself building that wall. When you are in a place where, and all of us are, where God is working in us, and he is working through us. The enemy is constantly engaging your mind. He's engaging your heart. Driving down the road sometimes can be the worst battle. Is that not true? Because that's the time when you have time. And the enemy will come in and he will begin to flood your mind with doubt. And that first time, it's easy to say no. But I'm going to tell you, that third time and that fourth time, that doubt becomes something that begins to make us waver just a little bit. And as we begin to accept it, what we have done at times is to build a wall between what God is saying and us. And if we allow that wall to stay there, if we do, we start believing and speaking exactly what the enemy has told us in our heart. We quickly move to where we believe the enemy. Why can't we believe God that much? Do you ever wonder that? I wonder that about myself all the time. Why is it so easy to get on that train than it is to stay on this train? Because I'm going to tell you, what God wants to do is more than you can do. the enemy's plans, we are well capable of doing what he wants us to do. We're flesh. That's what we're made of. But man, what God wants to do, it takes you believing them more than what you can do. That's why when the enemy comes and attacks you, it's not going to be a rational thought that God can do it, but it has got to be something that you fight against what the enemy is telling you, to where you keep that belief strong in your heart. Because the enemy is constantly in our lives right now wanting us to build walls. I believe that so strong. And God woke me up last week and he said, you're building a wall. And I'm going to tell you, if the enemy can guilt us to build walls in our life, what we're doing is we are blocking ourselves from a whole lot of things. We'll get into that in just a second. Tonight, I believe that God wants to, through the Holy Spirit, reveal some walls that we have built. I do this a lot of times when we do freedom ministries. We come and we look at areas in people's lives, and the Holy Spirit will reveal something that they have erected in the Spirit. It's not something you can physically see. It's not something that you have, by decision, said, well, I'm just going to put this wall there. But the enemy comes in and he spiritually gets you to agree with him, and you have separated yourself from God, from others, and from the promise that God wants us, to each one of us, to walk in. The enemy can unknowingly separate us from God in all different kinds of areas of our life. So we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have got to be people that allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in every thought that we think. I know y'all are tired of me saying this, but I'm going to tell you, you have got to war on your mind all the time. You have got to constantly let your mind be submitted to God. There's a song I used to love, actually when I was little, and we used to sing it a whole lot, and I'm not a singer, but it's that song, He's Still Working on Me. You remember that? To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. I think you remember that song. I've had that song replaying over and over. I'm telling you, God is still working on me. I don't know if this is news to you, but God is still working on you. And it is a committed process that God is involved in our lives to constantly be working in our lives. But one thing I know that it's important that we know is that we know what area that God is working on in our life. We have got to know the area that God is having us engaging in our spiritual life. Because the enemy wants to keep us confused. And the enemy wants to keep us deceived. And the enemy will make it look like God is just being mean to us, that God is not for us, that God has just abandoned us. How many of you, I mean, you're just, have honestly said, God, I know you're here, but where are you? Yes. Well, let me tell you something. If you are clear on what God is doing in you in this season, it makes that battle so much easier. Because you realize that this battle is integrating into me something that I don't have yet. This battle is changing inside of me something that I have not allowed the Holy Spirit to produce in me. And when you're in a battle and you can be aware of what area God is working on in you in it, it helps you work with God faster. It helps you work with what God is changing in you. Yes, it still hurts. Yes, it's still irritating. Yes, it's still crushing. But what you know is that in that situation, you've got this wisdom from God that, God, you're changing this inside of me to use me. You're changing this inside of me to use me. Remember back when we were talking about the Amalekite spirit? I believe that is this year. God has given us a charge to defeat things that have hindered us from growing from this point throughout our entire life. And it even goes beyond that. It goes to our past generations. Things that the enemy has used to come through our generations. God has caused us this year to war that war. And not just to war that war, to defeat it. To conquer it. But it's very hard to war and conquer when you don't know what you're warring and conquering. And what happens is a lot of time is you will begin to war and conquer. You'll begin to war and fight the wrong things. So you have a Holy Spirit. Each one of us have a Holy Spirit that is extremely good at teaching and leading you into the area that God is working on in your life. Just in this group right here, how many of you know the area God is working on in your life? Can you just raise your hand if you know of at least one? I know of many, but if you know of at least one, all right then it's good to know God is still working on me. But let me tell you something. God is working on us because we're broken. Yes, that's just the fall of man. That's the life that we live. We live in the flesh. God is working on us in those areas. But I'm going to tell you, God is working on you to use you. God is working on you to be able to flow His Spirit and His answers through you. One of the things that God last year had me battle was rejection. And I'm going to tell you, that was a hard, long battle. But because I let God have that area of my life, and I just let Him constantly work on me and work on me, and I kept my mind and I kept my heart and my beliefs on what God was telling me, then God brought a victory in that battle. Now, this year, we're in a whole nother season. This year, God is working on me on judgment. God is keeping me convicted when I get in situations and people and things and situations around me are going wrong, that I don't stand on the side of judging. That's not my place. God tells me all the time, that's not your place. God will give you spiritual insight, and He will give you words to speak of truth. But if you can't do that without compassion and mercy, I'm going to tell you what God has even brought me to intercession. You can't be used by God in that area. Because when God puts you into a situation, He puts you there to change things. He puts you there so that He can have an intercessor that's praying things through. And it's really hard, I have found, in those situations to not be judged. To not find every scripture in the Bible and say, well, God, you know what? They did this. And it's because they did this. This is what your word says against them. How many of you honestly? I know. But God told me, you know what? I'm the judge. You're the intercessor. I'm the judge. You're the intercessor. The thing is, if I judge, then I get judged with that same manner. I don't want that. I'm conscious enough to know that I fail all the time. I don't want that. So I know that mercy and intercession and grace has got to flow out of me. Or if not, God will never be able to use me beyond this point right here. See, God is working on me. God is absolutely working on me. And God has put me in situations all the time to where everything in me wants to put a wall up and to separate myself and to stand on this side and to not allow God to reveal in me what He's wanting to do in me and to reveal in me what He's wanting to do in others. I'm just honest with you. That's where God's got me at. God has me there. So as we begin to build these walls, as we begin to get into this season, one thing we have to know is this is a season that God has called individually each one of us to war in areas of our life. Yes, we're believing for big things. Yes, we're fighting. But I'm telling you, there are things in your life that has to change this year. There are things in your life that have to be subjected to the nature and the character of God. Because if it don't, the enemy is setting a trap right around the corner for this area. That's why God is having you work on this area in this season. So it is very important that we allow God to reveal to us the areas of our life that He is working on us. And the way you do this, you just get along with God and you say, God, what area are you working on in me? God, show me the area. Why do I keep on getting into this situation and finding myself agitated, mad, frustrated, depressed, upset? Why? And I'm going to tell you, if you start asking the Holy Spirit is going to show you why. What in you is He wanting to do? What in you is He wanting to do? And what will happen is, in those moments, the enemy will bring in hesitation, and he'll bring in doubt, And he'll bring in insecurities. And what he causes you to do in those moments is not to war that part in the spirit. He causes us to get back into the safe little place over here where we have been our whole entire life. And we start to believe like him. And we start to speak like him. And we start to have what he has. And we don't want that. We don't want that. That's why we have got to make sure we are challenging our spiritual life this year in the areas that God wants us to. Now, if we don't war, these are the things that the enemy wants to do. He wants us to start believing like him. He wants us to start being put in the exact same situation that we were in when the Spirit of God was speaking to us, but without us being able to hear the Spirit of God, to where we think and we see that situation completely different. Now, I want you to think about that. Think about situations this year that you've been put in. And you've probably been put in that situation over and over and over again. But at sometimes, are you not in that situation and you have faith? And you see that situation the way God wants you to see it. And you can have compassion and grace and mercy, and you can believe what God wants to do. But the very next time you're in that situation, because you're not believing what God has placed in your heart, that situation seems completely different. It seems hopeless. It seems disturbing. It seems fearful. It seems something that the enemy is doing to you instead of what God is wanting to do for you. The enemy is strategic to get us to draw back from these wars that God has caused us to wage in our own flesh. And he's caused us to war in our spirit. What happens is in my life, when I begin to not war, I get into those situations and I stop interceding and I stop forgiving and I start to build walls between me and all kinds of people around me. I start to put up these walls that are not physical, so we can't actually see they're there, but they're spiritual walls that I've allowed to be there from mindsets that I've let come out of my mouth that have taken on a spiritual form. And the thing about walls is we think that we erect them to protect ourselves, right? I mean, that sounds like a good thing, right? That when we put these walls up there, that we're actually protecting ourselves. But what we really do is we separate us. We're separating ourselves from what God wants to do through us, from what he wants to do in us, from what he wants to do for us, and from what he wants to do with us. Because you can't choose who comes through that wall. Once you put these walls up and we come into agreement with them, once they're there, you can't say, okay, you can come through and you can, and God, you can always come through. The walls that we place up in our spiritual life through doubt and unbelief and fear, they don't just separate us from the people that offend us or that hurt us. They separate us from everyone. And they also separate us from hearing and seeing God clearly. We don't see others clearly, and we definitely don't see ourselves clearly. And we begin to be distorted on how we see God. And that sudden, that very slow tricking of deceiving and doubt that the enemy started, he gets us into a place to where we're backed up against this own wall that we have put up in our own life. And it's deception. David, God, I really wants to work this into our life. Because when we don't go to war on what God is telling us to go to war on, we're moving back. And we can't handle these situations on our own. We don't have the ability. So all we do is we begin to grab these things all around us that are natural. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, and this is a scripture everybody knows, 10:3-5, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So when we're in situations that we can't handle, all we can be is flesh. Unless we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to teach us and to lead us. And I'm going to tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit is, he is really good at teaching us how to war things in ourselves. Now, that's not the part we like. That's not the part that's fun. But that's the part that is important for us to be able to get out and wars for God outside of us. If we can't take on what God is wanting to do in here, we will never be able to take on what God is wanting to do out here. So as the Holy Spirit comes in at those times and begins to show us these areas in our life that it's time to allow God to have a victory, we've got to engage in war. But the devil is really, I know, strong right now. How many of you trying to get us to pull back from war? Trying to get us to not engage in this war. To try to get us to overlook these things. To try to get us to settle with these things. To try to get us to be complacent in these things. And because that he's doing that, he thinks that he's keeping us from engaging in all that God wants us to engage this year. But I'm going to tell you, we don't shrink back. We don't. Won't you say that with me? Say, we don't shrink back. Because when we do, it costs us, but it costs all kinds of other people around us. I want you to think about David's life. It's in 2 Samuel. Think about David's life, the one time, this warrior, this mighty man of faith. Think about the one time that David did not go to war. Now, I'm going to tell you, I really believe that at that season in David's life, he had warred for a long time. At that season in David's life, he had been in battle after battle. And at that season, I'm sure David was having these doubts or these misdirections that, God, it cannot be wartime again. Because, see, David and his men had just went out and they had defeated the Ammonites. But because the rain season came, they defeated them and they subjected them, but they did not destroy them. So they pulled back. They pulled back till the rain stopped. How many of you has God given you a pullback season here lately? Oh, are those not awesome? Those are those times where if we are doing what we're supposed to do, we're strengthening ourselves in the Lord in those seasons. We're able to let the God strengthen and encourage and get us in faith again. But when God comes to you, just like God came back to Israel and he said, it is time to war. David had no problem sending everybody else out to war. But for some reason, David decided he was not going to war. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's contrary to David's nature. So that lets us know one thing. That lets us know that David, number one, either heard God say that, which from the story, we know David didn't hear God say that. Or number two, David was doubting what God had put in his heart as a belief system. And you say, how could he do that? How in the world? I'm telling you, David's thoughts were fault just like our thoughts are fault. David had to fight for his mind the same way that we have to fight for our mind and our right thoughts. And what God, enemy was trying to do was to separate David from people that God used in David's life to help him fight. See, David sent his army out and he stayed back. Now, I believe that there's a few reasons why David would separate himself from his men. Why he would build up this wall of separation and say, you go fight and I'm not. I believe one of those reasons could have been the enemy was fighting David with insecurities, telling him they don't need me. How many of you have the enemy fought that? You know what? They don't need you there. They can do it better without you. You are old. You are weak. You are insecure. You don't help. I believe that David could have been believing. What we know fought David a lot was insecurity. And he could have believed that they maybe could fight better without him. Or David could have believed this thought. Man, I've fought for years. I deserve a moment of peace. How many of you have this year said that? Man, I have fought for years, God. I'm telling you, let me not work on me for a little while. David also could have believed, by now, I should be having some peace in that area. Those words did come out of my mouth this month. By now, I should be having some peace in some area. Has anybody ever said that? I mean, by now, it should be a place of peace. I'm just going to stand and I'm just going to say there's peace, even when I know I'm being called out to war. I'm telling you, you're a Christian. You're going to war in the Spirit, in you and out of you. It is the way that we war for God. Next, I think that David could have been saying, being fed and believing he could serve Israel better where he was at. Let me tell you, when you are in a situation, you can't listen to everybody. You can't listen to everybody. One person you can always listen to is the Holy Spirit. So whatever you're hearing, if you have not had a confirmation from the Holy Spirit, it might not be good advice, even though I'm sure that sounded like, David, there is so much going on here. If you stay here, this will do better. Let them go fight. That made sense. But I'm going to tell you, God didn't tell David that. Because the Bible said, when it was time for war, David stayed behind. It was time for war for the children of Israel. It was time to defeat some things that God wanted defeated in their life. And it is time to defeat things that God wants defeated in our life. And because David would not engage in that battle, because he would not take that battle on, because David separated himself from his men, the enemy set a trap for him. And that's what God is wanting to let us know tonight. That if we stop engaging in the personal battle that God has given us to fight this year, that the enemy is setting a trap for us. Now, we know that trap out of David's life because we all know that story with Bathsheba. But let me tell you what was, to me, even worse about that story is Uriah. Uriah was a man that was very close to David. He was, out of David's 300 men, he was the 37th man listed in David's mighty men. Uriah was a mighty man, and he was a devout man, and he honored David. He honored him. So the fact that David would do that to him, and then the fact that David would believe such lies about Uriah. He believed that if he brought Uriah back, that Uriah would not be diligent and would not be vigilant and would not see that through. See, when you begin to separate yourself, when you begin to build walls up between you and other people, when the enemy comes to feed you with those lies and those doubts, you won't think right about other people. You won't. The enemy don't think right about us. And he definitely don't think right about other people around us. And David convinced himself, not just to do something wrong, but he convinced himself that Uriah was not his brother. And I'm going to tell you, Uriah was David's brother. And God has put people in your life and in my life to fight along with and to believe the best for. And if situations will come up and they will begin to separate us from them, if we'll begin to believe the lies of the enemy and not believe that God put me here, God put me here to believe for you. God put me here to intercede for you. God put me here because he wants to reveal in me where I'm not right, where I'm broken. If we can keep ourselves engaged in our heart with what God is wanting to do to where it comes out of our mouth, we will see God do what he wants to do in these situations in our lives. He will do it. The only thing that can keep God from doing it is us. And if we allow other people, like David allowed Uriah, he allowed that situation, and it wasn't Uriah's fault. Whose fault was it? It was David's. He separated himself from what God was having to work in his life on. And it's easier to stand back on this side with the wall between me and someone else and say, well, it's their fault, or it's their fault. When the truth is, if I have built that wall, it's my fault. I've built that wall. It's my fault. Man, God woke me up this week. And I woke up that morning and God spoke so clearly. He said last week, so he said, you've built a wall. And I said, all right, God. All right, I built a wall. What wall? He said, you've built a wall that you can't trust me fully. Now, how many of you, if God tells you something like that, you are just going to deny it to the end like me? I'm like, God, no, I trust you. He said, no, honey. He said, situations in your life has caused you to not trust me with everything. See, the devil has come in and he's begun to place doubt and misdirection. Because sometimes it don't happen the way I want, or sometimes it's in God's hands and not my hands. And in that situation, I have allowed myself to build a wall. And I said, all right, God, what is the name of that wall? And he said, it's a wall of not trusting me. You're not trusting me, hon. So I went on with my day saying, God, I trust you. Are you crazy? I trust you. That's insane. And within 24 hours, what was coming out of my mouth was exactly what God was trying to show me was in my heart. That was forming into a belief. And do you know what it was saying? I don't trust God. I don't trust God. God, have you failed me? God, you're not here. See, God wants us to know what the enemy is trying to do in our life. God wants us to see those ways. So you know what I did? I got down on my knees and I said, God, you know what? I've built a wall between me and you, not because you're not faithful, but because I don't believe you're faithful. And I was so funny because I said, God, show me what this wall looks like. And God showed me a wall that was concrete, but that was not solid. How many know what kind of wet concrete looks like? It looks like mud. And it was not solid. So I just said, God, right now, I ask you to tear down that wall in between you and me so that you can see me fully and I can see you fully. And instantly, that mud became water. And it poured down at my feet. And I'm going to tell you, at that moment, I said, God, I trust you. And faith once again just renewed, and it became a place in my heart where I believed with my heart, to where every moment from that moment, what's coming out of my mouth is what I know God has said. But you know what? If God had not led me to that wall, I would still be here tonight struggling, saying, God, I want to believe you. God, I want to believe you. And thinking that it was my fault of not trusting God instead of the enemy coming in and planting doubt and me coming into agreement with it. So tonight I want us to do something. I just want us all to close our eyes for just a second. And I want us to just allow the Holy Spirit to do something like only He can do. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Life is complicated. Life is bumpy. It's narrow. You said the way of the righteous is narrow. You were right. But Lord, I know that I can trust you. I know that I can believe you are doing something wonderful. But if I have allowed walls to be established between me and others, see, because walls separate us. And we're called to two things, to love God and to love others. Walls block that love coming to us and going through us. So say, Holy Spirit, is there any walls that I've allowed in my life to be erected through doubt and unbelief? Holy Spirit, what is that wall that I've allowed to come into my life and to stand in between me and what you've called me to be? A lot of times that wall is fear, insecurity, doubt, unbelief, anger. And then I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, show me that wall. Show me standing in front of this wall that I've allowed myself to spiritually build. Not on godly principles of faith, but on principles of fear and belief in what the enemy wants me to agree with. Show me a picture of this wall. Holy Spirit, is this wall hindering me? Is it keeping me from being used, being loved, being trained? Is it keeping others from being able to connect and to be changed and to let the life of God flow out of me? Is it keeping me from you? from your spirit, from your presence, from your love, from your acceptance. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, can you take down this wall? I know I built it. I know I came into agreement with it. But I know you are the one that walks with me and you walk for me. Can you take down this wall for me? So on the count of three, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to take down this wall. I don't want it there. Forgive me for placing something as my defense, as my protection, as my answer other than you. And on the count of three, I want you to visualize the Holy Spirit taking that wall down. I want you to realize what was on the other side of that wall. Look up. Holy Spirit, show them what you had for them. What this wall was keeping them from. Holy Spirit, reveal to them what you want to give them instead of this wall of separation. This wall of doubt, this wall of self-protection. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for not letting us build strongholds that are ungodly around our life that keeps us from being able to love you and to love others and to let others fail us and to let us fail them and for us to be able to be avenues that love and faith and intercession and forgiveness can flow through. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now, say, Holy Spirit, will you convict me of more walls if I have established them? And I know He's a good shepherd. I know He will lead you. Say, Holy Spirit, will you help me be aware when I'm building a spiritual wall that is not what you intended for me to be in that situation? Say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to let you be my strength. I'm going to let you be my protection. I'm going to let you be my guide. I'm going to let you be the one that I am flooded with morning and night and morning and night. And when I get in situations and I don't know what to do, I'm going to look to you and I'm going to say, you got me here. What you going to do? Father, I pray right now, Lord, that these walls that were brought down by the Holy Spirit will not be rebuilt. That as the enemy comes in with doubt and deception to try to get us to replace those walls in our lives, that we will say, no, no, we will not doubt. No, we will not waver. That our heart is committed to what God is telling us, and it's going to come out of our mouth, and we're going to see it in our life. We're going to have what we speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you know, I have tore down more walls in my life than I could ever even count. I've tore down walls, let the Holy Spirit tear down walls that turned to water. I've had Him tear down walls that blasted open. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is real creative, but it's specific in the what it means to you. The way the Holy Spirit tore down that wall in your life, it is specific for you. So ask Him. That's why I said, why? I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, why was this mud? Why was this concrete like that? You know what He told me? He said, because it was not a foundation wall. it was not an established wall. The enemy was trying to establish this. He was trying to tell you that I'm not good. But you know what? We got it down before it got there. That's the first for me. We got it down before it got established. What I want you to know is there's walls in our lives that keep us separated. So all you have to do is let the Holy Spirit. Can you guys say, if there's any walls, I will allow the Holy Spirit to tear them down. Father, thank you for tonight. God, I thank you that you're faithful and that you're a good God and that you love us. And that, Lord, I just thank you that you are causing us to war this year out of our lives what you want us to have victory in. We're not going to be caught off guard. We're not going to be caught in a trap. We're going to be victorious in our spiritual, our personal, our relationships, in every area of our life. We're going to be an overcomer because we're going to be led by you. And we're not going to not war, but we're going to war in the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.